The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
You're outraged by what you heard earlier about the death of Aoife Johnson, and quite rightly so, and lots of you getting in touch, particularly from the Midwest region. I'll just pick this one from Sharon, who said, UHL is trying to make out the emergency departments unusually busy that off weekend, and it's not true. It's like that all the time. Limerick people are terrified when a family member gets sick, especially elderly. I've experienced it with my own eyes, having to accompany my father there. You can't move for trolleys everywhere. Sick elderly people who no doubt paid their taxes all their lives, left for hours if not days, being ignored. It's a disgrace. And there are many others like that as well. Okay, let's go to the United States of America. Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post, is with us again this evening because a lot going on in the courts. We'll get to Dozy Donald Trump in a second, but first, tell us about Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction from 2020 being overturned.
That's right, Matt. And I think this has really caused a lot of shock. Certainly, you know, the appeal was heard in February this year. I covered the Harvey Weinstein rape trial from the courtroom back in 2020 in New York. And, you know, the grounds for the overturning were that the Court of Appeals said that the trial court erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complainants. So basically they're saying that three women, two of whom I covered, Dawn Dunning and a second woman, provided testimony that Harvey Weinstein, even though they weren't, he wasn't being charged with crimes related to them for various reasons, they provide testimony, which is sort of testimony of previous bad acts, which establishes a pattern. This often happens in cases where, you know, to establish a predatory pattern. We know over 100 women accused Harvey Weinstein of crimes, and what the prosecution was trying to do was to say, yes, for various technical reasons, you know, statute of limitations, some of these women, crimes happening outside of New York, etc., we're only charging him for crimes against a small number of women, but here are other women who also claimed that they were assaulted by him. As I say, this is not uncommon in other trials. It comes from a ruling, the Mulno witness ruling, which says that it can be introduced to establish a behavioural pattern, prior bad acts, etc. This court said, no, the trial judge, James Burke, should never have allowed this in the first place, and we're overturning the conviction. Now, people have said this is very retrograde, including dissenting judges. It was a 4-3 opinion who said that it's taking us back to the he said, she said, that basically, what is a rape victim supposed to do if she goes into court and says, I was sexually assaulted, and the defendant says, no, I never did it? If you cannot introduce other evidence, then, you know, as this judge said, it brings you back to he said, she said. It seems to be a perplexing decision. There was a previous, an intermediate court, the appeal, this is the second appeal, an intermediate court a while back turned down another appeal. So as I say, I think it caught people a bit off guard.
But Marion, can I just ask you, though? I mean, because I know you cited precedent there, but it does seem perhaps a little bit odd that you would have a situation whereby people are called to give testimony alleging that he sexually assaulted them, even though no charges have been brought in relation to those alleged assaults, let alone any guilt being established.
Yeah, and the reason that this was allowed by the prosecutors sought to do this and the judge allowed it was that the number of women who, there were a number of reasons that women couldn't be added to the list of complainants, that charges couldn't be brought on.
Sorry, so does that mean effectively that there were sample cases that was used to get the conviction against him?
Exactly.
The ones that they were certain, or felt fairly certain that they could get, except the way they've gone about it has now led to this Court of Appeal decision, which then raises the question, or a couple of questions. Does this mean he's going to be released in New York? And if he's released in New York, does that mean then he gets flown to California to serve out the prison sentence for his separate conviction for rape over there?
Exactly. So what's going to happen now is he will be immediately released from the New York prison. He is, and he will be taken directly to California, where a 16-year sentence awaits him. Meanwhile, in New York, the New York District Attorney has said that they intend to retry the case. However, they can only retry the case if the women against whom he was, charges were brought, I beg your pardon, if the same women agreed to retestify and have the, you know, to appear in court again, because it is obviously very, very harrowing.
Well, indeed. And then, Marion,
in court and give testimony
in California, is he appealing that verdict in California? Was that case done in a different way?
The case in California, as far as I'm aware, Matt, there is no appeal going on at the moment. The conviction in California, as I recall, was pretty straightforward. We're uncertain, because we also had this situation in the Cosby case where his appeal was overturned and the Supreme Court refused to take up an appeal of the Pennsylvania court in that case. It seems that one of the concerning things is that nothing is certain in these trials. That, I mean, I don't know. Will the kind of California case now be subject to appeal as well? It's not the same as the New York case, but it may be on different grounds. So I think the whole thing is very messy. There are claims that Burke allowed too much prejudicial testimony. As I say, from my experience, my recollection of being in the courtroom, I thought he handled the case very meticulously, but this is where we are now.
Okay, then I want to ask you about Dossie Donald Trump, who has been occasionally nodding off at his case involving the hush money allegations, but more importantly perhaps the Supreme Court argument, where it seems he has taken, remember that famous statement he once made that he boasted he could walk out into a gun in New York and shoot somebody and nobody would be able to do anything about it. He seems to be bringing that type of approach, or at least his lawyers are, to their arguments in front of the Supreme Court, that as President of the United States, he would have immunity to do almost anything, including murdering political opponents.
Yeah, you know, I've been following this and it's still ongoing, and I am quite frankly surprised by some of the questioning from the Supreme Court judges, in particular Judge Neil Gorsuch and Samuel Alito, and it seems they keep refusing or are moving away from the case that is at the core of this hearing, whether or not Donald Trump can claim presidential immunity for attempting to overthrow the 2020 election, for acts pertaining to that, and they keep saying, well, look, we don't really want to talk about this case. We want to talk about, this is going to be a decision for the ages, and there seems to be a lot of obfuscation around it by the judges, of them really getting down into the weeds and not wanting almost to look at the issue that is on the table in front of them. And in particular, they seem to be moving away from one aspect of the case, which, although it's not the subject of a criminal indictment, which was the Department of Justice and Donald Trump's attempts to force the Department of Justice to send out false letters claiming there had been election fraud as part of his attempt to stay in power. And again, it also seems that the judges are, they don't seem to think he would have absolute immunity, but the Chief Justice John Roberts was pretty excoriating about what everybody seems to think was an excellent and very well written appeal from the DC Circuit. And he said that they're basically saying, because he can be prosecuted, he should be prosecuted, and it's circular. And he seemed to question whether it should be sent back to that court, the entire thing, to be reheard, which would, of course, again, delay everything much further. And it really seems, from what I've been listening to today, that the chances of any trial taking place in this before November are getting slimmer by the moment.
Thank you, Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.